We begin the current daf Masechta Bava Basra daf Ayin Zayin. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, where we had a statement by Rav Papa, which reflected a machlikis Rabbanan and Rebbe we had in the previous daf regarding the kinyan of a shtar. How does one makna? How does one give over the ownership of a document? Let's say someone owes him $1,000 and he has a document that's the deed that he could collect with, and he wants to sell it or give it to someone else. What is the kinyan? So the Rabbanon, and that's actually how Papa Paskins like the Rabbanon, hold what's called Ashayichta V'yimser. You have to first write another document that's stating regarding, and Papa explained what those words are, that he has to write that I want you to acquire this document I'm selling you, not just a piece of paper of it, but all the shibudin that's in it, meaning the content of it. So you have to write a document about that document that you're selling him, and you have to do V'yimser, you have to give over the document, which is the kinyan of Mesira. And that's our Papa Paskins. But as our Gemara continues on top of Ayin Zayin and Aleph, Amar Meimer, he says, Hilchasa, no, he paskins not like the Rabbanan, like Rapapa did. But rather, Eisya is letters, which is a reference to documents, which essentially you're really selling letters, you're not really selling anything, you're selling words, and something intrinsically worth money. That's Niknas b'Mesira k'Rebbe. He paskins like Rebbe, that the kinyan is with just handing over the document. And as Rashbam says, that's how the flow of the Gemara is, and in many places in Shas, that we find that Oisis and Niknas b'Mesira, just giving over the document, is the kinyan for that document. And you don't have to write a different document that says on it, oh, that I'm giving you that other document, I want you to acquire it in Oled Shibudim, you don't even need another document. Rather, it's just the handing over the document that finalizes the kinyan of the document. Now, Amli Rav Ashi l'Armemus. Rav Ashi asked Hamemus, who just said this halacha, Gemara Eitzvara. They said, you said halachas like Rebbe. Is it a tradition that you have the halachas like him? Or are you using your logic and calculating and saying that it must be like Rebbe? So Amalei Gemara, so Hamemus said, it's a tradition that I have the halachas like Rebbe. That I'm Rav Ashi, so he said Tameima, but Svara Namihu, he says it's actually also logical to say that a document would not assist anything for the acquisition of a different document through it, and that it must be like Rebbe, that the only significant thing that you could do over here, the transferring of the document, is by handing it over, and therefore it must be like Rebbe, that all you need is Mesira, and you don't write another document about the sale of that document. And the reason is because the Aisya is, because letters, meaning the sale of a shtar chayiv, of a document, of a debt that someone's selling for someone else to be able to collect from the borrower from, milininu, what is it? He's selling him just words. He's not selling him something that is intrinsically worth something. Now, therefore, says Rav Ashi, you have to have something that's active, something that's a significant action to create a kinyan. So, if you're handing over the document, which is what's called a Maisa B'Yadayim, you're doing an actual thing, you're handing over what's called the Kinyan Mesira. So that must be the primary Kinyan of the sale of the document. Because if you would think that you would do it with another document, by writing up another document, that's how you're going to make the sale of the document that you're trying to sell, but that doesn't make sense. Because Umili B'Mili Le'miknin, you can't go ahead and sell, make a kinyan acquisition on one document through another document, because then there's nothing of substance here. You have to have some substance. If he's selling something that's intrinsically something worth something, an actual object, so you can write a document about that, because at least there's a substance, there's something substantive here that is being sold. So, okay, the thing that you're doing the kinyan with could be a shtar. Or the other way around. If you have something like a shtar, so it's not substantive, but then the kinyan that you do could be something substantive, like doing an actual action of Mesirah, of handing it over. But to write a document about a document, then you have nothing substantive here at all. The thing that's being sold is not substantive, it's just words. And the kinyan that you're doing, which is the writing the document about the document, is also not substantive, because there's nothing intrinsic in that kinyan itself either. It's just a piece of paper. It's words that you're writing inside of it, but all it is words. And therefore, says Rav Ashi, that it's logical the way you're saying it, even though that's your tradition, that you should say, like Rebbe, that the kinyan of the shtar must be only through the Mesira, and that there's no need and necessity of writing a document about the document, because you can't do anything with words about words. That was where Rav Ashi supported him. And that asked the Gemara, V'loi, what? Is that really so? That you cannot be kind of mealy with mealy? To have, be kind of document through a document. In other words, basically your principle, Rav Ashi, was that you got to do something substantive. Mesira, handing it over. But just with words, you can't acquire a document which is worth with words. And then the Gemara says, no, you can't. But the Gemara asks, but V'amar Rabba Bar Yitzchok Amar Rav, he said, Shnei Shtarisim, meaning that there's two different laws that would be in regards to two different types of documents, in regards to when you could back out of that document. As he explains, so let's say the seller tells two witnesses, Zechu Besade, as the Bach puts in the word zu, leplaini in the gears of the Rashbam, he tells them, go ahead, I want you to merit in this field for that person. In other words, I am selling through you with this kerchief, this field, for the purposes of that person that you should acquire for him. And that's what they did. They acquired that field for that person, like the seller had commanded them. Moreover, he told them, I want you to even write from a document which solidifies his kinyan, where now the two witnesses are testifying in the document that this was a sale from or a gift from this guy to that guy. So in such a case, says Rabbi Bar Yitzchok, the gifter, the seller, could back out of the document, even if initially he had said, I want you to write this document and give it to him. The reason for this is because as long as the recipient didn't receive that gift yet, where in this case that means the document, there's two gifts he's giving him. He's giving the actual field and the gift of a document. Until that the document wasn't yet given to him, he hasn't yet received it, and therefore he could uproot his agency that he told him, his shlichus, that I don't want you to do it anymore. Now, the reason for this is because actually you cannot write a document forcibly against the will of the one who's gifting it. Because although he benefited this person that he's giving the field to as a gift with an oral gift, but he doesn't want to have that it should be written in the document, because that there are certain ramifications when there are certain documents out against him showing that he doesn't have certain assets. He doesn't want it to be put in writing. Now, Morbi Rashbam says, although the Gemara says, Cheskes Abatim, as we brought a memo at Aleph, that when someone makes a kinyan in front of two people, he doesn't have to tell them to write a document, because generally a kinyan is meant for writing. That's the Rashbam. That's in the general sense, where generally we assume that someone is doing a kinyan, he wants that they should write a document for the one that he's being machnet to. But where he protests, then you cannot write against his will. And therefore, in this situation, where if they didn't yet go ahead and write it and give it to him, so he didn't yet acquire it, so then he could back out of the document. But he cannot back out of the gift that he was giving him of the field, because they already acquired it with the sudr, with the kerchief that was handed over, and Allah is zachan la'adam shalebafanam, that they really merit for someone, even though he's not there, that person could acquire something and merit something for someone when he's not there. So again, in that situation, he could back out of the field, he could back out of the document that it shouldn't be written and given, but he can't back out of the field. Next case. These are the two different documents that he's talking about the ramifications when there's a shtar, what the halachas are going to be different. Because let's say in this case where the words he said was, Almanas shetichtiv olayas shtar. In other words, he said, I want you to merit this field for him, but he said on the condition that you write him a document, which essentially what he's saying is that he shouldn't even be meriting in the field until the document comes to his hand. So that case is going to be different. There he could back out of not only from the document, but even from the field. Because there the field is contingent on the document. As we said, the document is only until he gets it. And since he could back out of the document, in that case he could even back out of the field. Those are two different cases that are with documentation that Rabbi Bar Yitzchok said are going to have different halachas, again, depending on the words that he said. One was that he said, v'chis v'leis ashtar. Another one was, no, amenash artich v'leis ashtar. Says the Gemara, where the Gemara continues this idea, where we're going to use this as a question, Rav Chibar Avin Amar Rav Huna, he says, Shleish Ashtar Hasein, there's actually three different types of cases, which Treha Damar, and two are like you said, exactly, where depending on the wording that he used, what's with backing out. Idach, the third case, however, is as follows. Im Kadim Meicher B'Kasav Es Ashtar, if the seller went and had it already pre-written, meaning somebody that needs money, so he knows he has to sell from some of his assets to his friends to be able to get money. Now, sometimes he bumps into or he encounters a scribe and he's like, oh, what a great opportunity. He goes and writes up a sale document so that he should have a document ready to give to someone that's ready to buy from him at any point in time. Because if someone's going to want to buy, he says, I got to go to a scribe. Like, no, I'm not going to buy it, whatever. But if he has a document ready, the guy's going to say, okay, let's go, let's make the deal, let's make the sale. So what he does is he meets the scribe, he has it already pre-written as if it was already sold to this guy that he wants to sell it to. Now, as the Gemara continues on the Beis, and this is appropriate, Ka'esa Shashaninu, like we learned in the Mishnah, Daf Kofas Amach Zayin, on the Beis, that Ka'esa Shalom Eicher, we're allowed to, meaning us the scribes, are allowed to write a document to a seller, Ava Pisha in Lakeach Ima, even though the buyer is not there with him, meaning you're allowed to do it even though it's what's called Mechzikish Ikra. It looks like a little bit of a lie, because how are we writing and having it signed that this guy sold it to this guy when we don't know such a thing ever happened? We don't see any buyer over here. Now, the reason why you're allowed to do that is because there's no loss for anyone in such a situation. The only one that could possibly lose is the seller himself. Because if he now subsequently loses that document, and the loikeach, who never bought, but his name is written on the document, if he finds it, he could claim, oh, yeah, this is my document that he actually sold me this thing, and look, I have this document. Now, although that could be a problem for the meicher, but if he's not concerned for it, because he's coming and asking us to write him this document, so we're also not concerned for him, and therefore we're allowed to go ahead and write such a document for him. Now, continues the Gemara, and this is the conclusion of the words of the Amora, not from this mission that we just brought, that you're allowed to do such a thing. So regarding the third case of a document, where he has it already pre-written, says the Gemara, so once the lekeach goes ahead and takes possession, bekarka, in the land, I mean, there's two things over here. There's the document that he had pre-written, and then there's the kinya of the land. So when the lekeach takes possession of the land, niknishtar, so that document that was already written before the sale for this lekeach, is acquired to the lekeach b'chamak mishahu, wherever it happens to be at this time. Now, the reason for that is because the intention of the seller is to be makne the shtar to the lekeach, and how does the lekeach acquire the document? Agav the karka, through the acquisition of the land, which is halacha by any movable item, that if it's there, if besides the movable item, the guy is also selling him a piece of land, where when he does a chazak in the karka, then it's as if he did meshicha in the metaltlin itself. Where although the kinyan of karka are different than the kinyan of metaltlin, but as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, when you make a kinyan on the karka, that automatically gives you the acquisition of the movable item, which in this case is the shtar. Says the Gemara, and Bezuhi Sheshaninu, this is what we learned in Kedushin of Chavav Mar Aleph, which over there it's learned up from Sukkim, that Nechasim She'ein Lem Achrayi is regarding properties that don't have liability, meaning because they're movable. And like in this case, we're talking about a document. Niknin Im Nechasim She'es Lem Achrayi, they are acquired through the properties that do have liability, meaning land, because it's always could be collected from, there's always responsibility to it, it doesn't move land, through the three Kinyanim of Karka, which are either Bekesef, where what he received the money from the land, which that's a Kinyan on the land, and through that you'll acquire the Metatlan with that too, or Vishtar, which a document is also another way of acquiring land, or Vechazaka, or if he goes and makes a Chazaka in the land, so by doing that Kinyan on the Karka, it will be as if he did a Kinyan on the Metatlan too. Now, the Gemara's assumption at this point now is, regarding a document, that essentially that what you're acquiring is just with words. In other words, in this case of the Kinya of Agav, it seems like that the seller wants to go ahead and be makna to the lekeach, even though the document has not come to his hand yet. Meaning the document happens to be, he wrote it a few weeks before they did the sale, and he has it somewhere in his house. Then he meets him, and they say, okay, let's do the sale. And he says, oh, I have the shtar already wrote up for you, even though we didn't do the sale. I need it just in case. I made a sefer. But you do the kinyan on the karka. So what's the halacha? When you kaina a karka, which is metatlin, there was nechas m'shesh l'machayis, through that kinyan, you automatically acquire the metatlin, which is the shtar. So therefore, ask the Gemara, for sure in the case of what's called mili b'mili, which is what we were discussing, what the Gemara's question is on Rav Ashi, which is to acquire one shtar with another shtar, because if in this case of this halacha will you find that even with just regular words, the kinyan is going to be happening even without a different shtar, because ultimately what is happening over here? He's not doing any kinyan on this shtar. They just have words. He's saying, oh, I also have a shtar wrote up for you. Okay, I want you to acquire that too. And you see that he's acquiring it just with telling him that he wants it to be acquired while he's selling him the piece of land. So for sure that you could acquire words of a document with at least words that you have written in another document. So why are you saying that the halacha must be like Rabbi? Because how could you acquire words with words? What do you mean? Of course you could acquire words of a document with words in another document. Because if you see from the halacha of Agav, which is the third case that is being added by the Samaira, that when he's selling him a piece of land, by just telling him he wants him to acquire the document in his house, you see, by just telling him, which are just words, not even on paper, it's just words that are verbal words, it could make the kinyan on the shtar. For sure, when you have the words on the document, for sure it could go ahead and help in the acquisition of the words in the document. And I think my answer is no. This that you see, like from this halacha Masechtas Kedushin, that this Amira is focusing on, that you can acquire the shtar through the piece of land, agav shani, through what's called the kinyan of agav, meaning by making a chazaka in the land, it's not like the words, it's like as if you're doing a kinyan in the shtar through the land, which that's what we learn from Sukkah Masechtas Kedushin. That's not words, it's actually a large action. Because when you do chazaka or a shtar or kinyan kesef on the land, that kinyan, that maisa, that large action, it's as if you're doing it not only in the land, as if you're doing it in that movable item, meaning in this case, the shtar too. So it's as if you did meshicha on the money itself, on the document itself, so of course it's going to work. And the Gemara proves this idea, and if it's not difficult in Rav Asher, because no, mili b'mili, you cannot make a kinyan. When you make the kinyan agav, it's not with the words that you're saying. The words are just saying that you want to do the kinyan agav, which is that as if you're doing the kinyan the karka, as if you're doing that same kinyan metatlan. And the Gemara proves this idea, because dahamad beya, because regarding coins, currency, money, which the Gemara tells in Perek Azov, and there it explains the reason for this, to lay nickname bechalipin, you cannot acquire money with a kinyan of transfer, which is the kinyan of a sudr by giving the kerchief. So as a lot of times you give that kerchief and that acquires something back to you. By money, you can't acquire money by the kinyan of a sudr. Now, yet va'agav ara nikni. So if we see by money that it needs such a strong kinyan, where forget about words, you can't even acquire with chalipin, and yet it could be acquired through the kinyan of agav through a piece of land. Meaning once there's a kinyan on the piece of land, you could also then acquire money through that, even though you're not doing any kinyan. So you see, it's not because as if when you do a kinyan agav, as if it's just words. No, it's a true, full-fledged, strong kinyan. And how do we know this idea? That money, although it cannot be acquired with kinyan chalipin, but it could be acquired through the kinyan of agav, which means through the kinyan in the land, it's as if you're doing kinyan in the money too, or in the metalin, or in our case, that of the document, Kiyadra Papa, like we find by the incident of a Papa, that Havali Tracer Alfei Zuzi Bechazoi, he had 12,000 Zuz that was owed to him in this place Bechazoi, and he really needed the money to be collected. So Akninu Nahalei L'Rav Shmuel Barachi, he then went and was Makna, the ownership, he gave over the acquisition of the rights of this money to Rav Shmuel Barachi. And how did he do it? How did he was Makna money? Agav Asifa de Beisa, through the cell, he sold him the doorstep of his house. Now, the reason why he did this, why was he maknatim the doorstop, which is karka, so that through that kinyan of agav that he was doing, of whatever type of kinyan he was doing in the karka over there, so then he'll acquire the money through that, was so that he could go ahead and bring him his money back, which is known as harsha, that's some type of a shlichas, of a permission that you give. Now the reason why he had to do this was because if he wasn't makna the ownership of the money to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, then actually his debtors would not have given him the money, because if he's not the real owner and they're giving it with him to bring it back to Rav Papa, who they owe the money to, then they would be liable if anything happens on the way, and they don't want to, as the Gemara says this in Baba Kama. So therefore, they would only give it if Rav Shmuel Bar Acha was the owner, and the moment he gets it, they're done with their debt. So Rav Papa knew that, so he had to give him to be the owner. He did that. How was he making him the rights and the money? Through the kinyan of agav. And Kiyasa, when Rav Shmuel Bar Acha came back with the money, Nafik L'Apis, Rav Papa went out to greet him because of the great joy that he had that he's getting all the money that was owed to him back, at Tavach, until the place Tavach, which, as the Gemara says, this place himself, this needed that was the name of this place. Now, that's what this part of the story is coming to teach us, that it's because of this kinyan of agav asifa, that's why the debtors gave the money to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, as we see that since Rav Papa went out to greet him, obviously he was so happy, why was he going out to greet him? Because he had brought back the money. Again, we see that ma'is, although it definitely needs a strong kinyan, because even kinyan chalipin doesn't work for it. And we see agav does work, so obviously it supports the answer we give him, Rav Ashi, that kinyan agav is not that as if, like, okay, you don't really need a kinyan on the metatlin, you just, with words, you'll acquire it. No, it's actually the kinyan doing in the karka is a kinyan in the money, or in this case, the document itself, and that's why that third case of this amayra is going to work in the case of the document that it's going to be included in the kinyan of the karka, but really, mili b'mili is like homi. Like we said, that the halacha is, like Amema said, like Rabbi. Now, the Gemara concludes the discussion of our Mishnah that spoke about the sale of a svina, of a boat. It said, but what's not included in the unspecified sale of a boat? Avaloi machar, but it is not sold loyas avodim, not the slaves who watch and that they also direct the ship. Valoyas amatsoifin, not these large sacks that they would put all the merchandise that's on the ship in it. And valoyas antiki, v'chule, not antiki. So ask the Gemara, my antiki. Papa iska dibigava refers to the merchandise, the cargo that's on the ship, that's in these sacks. Those things are not automatically included in the unspecified sale of a boat. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission, again continuing the theme of this parak regarding movable items that are unspecified in their sale, what's included and what's not. So says the Mishnah, Macher esakarin, if someone sells a wagon, so le macher esapradis, so he has not automatically sold the mules that pull the wagon. Now, as the Gemara will explain, this is actually Toma when they're not attached. But if they're attached, actually it would be sold with it. Now, moreover, the reasons why it picks it is because it's normal that a wagon has mules. So too, as in the next case, the Mishnah is going to discuss, generally it's semed, which is a paired yoke, is for bucker, it's for cattle. And kalim, generally, utensils are carried on a donkey. That's why the Mishnah picks all these cases regarding, so are they considered together in the sale or not? But again, if someone sells a wagon, he has not automatically sold the mules. And machar esapradis, and if he sells the mules, le machar esakarin, he has not automatically sold together with that the wagon. Next case, machar esatzemed. If someone sells someone the yoke, which is this small type of a wagon, that this wagon itself, that's like a yoke, attaches the two oxen together. That's what tzemed means, like a pier. That's the type of yoke it is. Le machar esabakar, it's not automatically sold the cattle that usually, like the oxen that usually pull that yoke. Machar esabakar, if he sold him the cattle, le machar esatemet, he has not automatically sold him the yoke. Now, this opinion is actually according to everyone. It's just that there's a machlikis, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, in our Mishnah, how to explain this halacha. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, sometimes it would be selling it together, and sometimes not. But according to Rabbanan, it's always not going to be selling one that'll include the other. But Rabbi Yehuda Aimi disagrees. He says, no, hadam maydin. No, the money will notify us to tell us if, when he's selling one, if it includes the other one too, says the Mishnah Ketzad. Amalai, if he tells him, Macher li simmatcha b'masayim zuz, if he tells him, sell me your yoke that appears two animals together for 200 zuz, says Rabbi Yehuda hadav yedua sheinat tzemed b'masayim zuz. Everyone knows that a yoke doesn't cost 200 zuz. Obviously, when he's selling the tzemed for that exorbitant amount of money, it obviously is going to include the bucker, and then the tzemed, the sale of the tzemed will include the bucker. But the Chamayim, they disagree. They say, no, ein adam and raya, the money that's being paid in this sale is not a proof. Rather, it could be that he wanted to give him as a gift the excess. You're right, the tzemed costs $50. He's giving him $200. Oh, it must be the bucker. No, it's not true. Tzemed means tzemed, not bucker. So why is he giving him that much more money? Maybe he wants to give him a gift. Or, as the Gemara says, that you're right. It will be a mekach tois. It will be a mistaken acquisition because he way overpaid. But then the halacha doesn't mean, oh, so therefore automatically the bucker is included. No, he gives him back his money and then he takes back his tzemet. But it doesn't automatically include the bucker with it. Now the Gemara tells us, relating to the halacha of our Mishnah, that Tani Rav Tachlifa Bamarava Kamed Rabavo. Rav Tachlifa from the West, from Eretz Yisrael, tore a brice in front of Rebbe Vo that said, Machar esakarin, if someone sells someone unspecified a wagon, Machar esapradis, he has automatically sold with it the mules. So on that he asked him, what do you mean? Rebbe Vo said, Va'anan loy machar tna. We learned a Mishnah that says that he has not automatically sold with it the mules. So Amaleis, Rav Tachlifa said to him, Isamye, so should I delete this brice from my collection of brices? Amalei loy, so Rebbe Vo said to him, no. But titarge masnitcha, but you should translate your brisa, is toma ba'adukin bay. When the wagon is attached to the mules at the time of the sale. So if they're attached, therefore when he's selling him the wagon, so then he's selling him everything including the mule with it. But our Mishnah is talking about when they're not attached, therefore by just selling the wagon, that's not going to automatically include in the sale the mules. Mishra continued and said, Mochras atzemer, if he sells him this yoke that pierces the animals together, le mochras abakar v'chulu, he has not sold with him the cattle. And we had this machlikis in the Mishnah between Yehuda and Rabbanon, if the damim would be maidin or not. If the money makes sense that it's not just the temet, would that include the bakar or not? Now, the Gemara asks, heichad dami, what's the case talking about that Yehuda and Rabbanon disagree? And that is because ilay medukaru, if they call a tzemet in that city, litzimda tzimda, they call the yoke in that city just tzemet, and they don't include the oxen in that. Ulabakar bakar, and they call the cattle cattle, and they don't call it tzemet. So then pshita, then it's obvious that tzimda zavanle bakar le zavanle. Then in that case, it would be obvious that he's selling him just the yoke and not the cattle. And then the question is, so why does Rabbi Yehuda say that the dam mamadin, that the money is notifying us that he did include in the sale cattle, but cattle is never included in the terminology of a yoke. To us to say that maybe when he said that tzemet, he meant that tzemet should include bakar. But why should we say that no one calls bakar tzemet? And therefore, even if, let's say, they would be attached at that time, still you would not acquire the bakar with the tzemet because, as we see in our Mishnah, no one differentiates between if they're attached or not, as we make that differentiation between a wagon and the mules. As the Gemara later on actually will tell us that the Mishnah is what's called mili miliktani. Each case is totally separate, and therefore, although we say that there is a difference between attached or not regarding the case of Karin and Prades, but we don't say that regarding the case of tzemet and bakar. So, but then the question is, how do we understand? If everyone calls tzemet tzemet and bakar bakar, so what's the understanding in Rabbi Yehuda? So what are you going to say, ve'el lekar le'nami lebakar tzimda, that no, some people do call cattle yoke. When they say yoke, they mean the yoke with the cattle. But then, kuli zavanle. So then, he obviously did sell all of it, because that's what people do. People call bakar tzemet. So why did Rabbanan say that the money will not notify us? But why? Since everyone calls bakar tzemet, and moreover, the money definitely makes it sound like that when he's selling such a large amount of money for a tzemet, it means the bakar with it. So then it's incumbent upon the seller to have told us that he's not selling the bakar and that he would only want to sell the yoke, because generally, since the money is indicating, and that's what everyone says, when they want to say bakar, they say tzemet too. So from the fact that he didn't specify and say that he only wants to sell the yoke and not the cattle, so then it must be including the cattle too. So what's the understanding of Rabbanan? Why, when you sell tzemet and the dam madin, why is it not like Rabbi Yehuda? Why is that not automatically including the bakar? So answer the Gemara, lo yitzricha, no. The case that they're disagreeing about, that there's dispute, is ba'asr the kar le'litzmida tzemda ula bakar bakar. You're right. There are people that call tzemet tzemet and bakar bakar. But ve'ikanami the kar ula bakar tzemda. But there are also people that when they want to refer to the sale of the cattle, they refer to the yoke, means say, sell me that yoke, which means say the yoke with the cattle. And therefore, it's in that type of situation we're in doubt regarding this person, which one of these people is he? Is he from those that call bakar tzemet or not? That's the machlekes of Yehuda and Rabbanan. Yehuda savar hadam medin. So Yehuda holds that since we don't know, the money tells us that if he's from those who call bakar tzemet, because so much money, it must mean that he meant the bakar with the tzemet, and therefore the bakar is going to be sold with the tzemet. But Rabbanan savri, Rabbanan held that no. Since there are those who call bakar only bakar, and they don't call it tzemet, so therefore, in adam raya, so the money is not a proof, because maybe he's from one of those that he calls only tzemet tzemet, and not bakar bakar. And therefore, he has not sold the bakar with the tzemet, and the reason for that is because the buyer has the lower hand. Because the seller has what's called a cheskes marikama, he has the chazaka, the presumptive ownership of what he's selling, and we don't say that the damim will be maidiyah, because although maybe that would be some type of logic, but still, since it's a suffix, we don't know which one of the people he was, therefore he gets to hold on to it, and only what he said is included, which is just the tzemet and not the bakar. Now, but Rashbam does point out, but if everyone in the city calls bakar tzemet, then it's obvious that since this person normally calls bakar tzemet because everyone in town calls it, and also that there's so much money being tendered over here, then of course the Rabbanim would agree that everything would be sold. It's just that the case that the Gemara has explained that they're disagreeing about is where some people do call bakar tzemet and some people do not, and therefore he could hold on to the rights and say, look, what I sold you was only this tzemet and not the bakar with it.